For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Mary Kay Cabot joins us right now to not just talk about Jaguars, but everything else going on, as well as Deshaun Watson. She joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. She's from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Mary Kay, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing okay. Okay, we got to start off. With this latest lawsuit here. Kevin Stefanski said he wasn't aware. The NFL is looking into it. Lisa Friel, I believe is her name, is looking into it. The last time she looked into it, it led to a 6, then an 11-game suspension when the NFL brought in Sue L. Robinson. Where are we at right now with all this? With Deshaun Watson, this lawsuit, whatever with the NFL and his future with this football team?
Well, the NFL has to determine if this incident or alleged incident is different, substantially different enough to warrant further discipline under the personal conduct policy, because they had an agreement the first time around that anything else that arose from that time period that was similar was going to fall under the 11-game suspension and the $5 million fine. So that's what Lisa Friel has to determine. And what she will attempt to do is interview the plaintiff, and she will interview Deshaun. And this one, I'm sure, can get very tricky because, well, they all were this way, but it is her word against his word. So I think it might end up being difficult to determine exactly what happened on that evening, if anything, whatever. So that's going to be incumbent upon Lisa to do that. And if they do feel that this was different enough, then they could suspend him for another how many ever games, or fine him more, or put him back into therapy or treatment. So I think it's just a wait-and-see proposition right now. And what can happen on the other end of it is that the two attorneys can get together and come up with a settlement. And if they do that, then I believe that the league would probably back off of any further discipline. So I'm not sure exactly what Rusty, Harden, and Tony Busby are talking about at the moment, but a settlement is something that I'm sure they are going to discuss.
Do you think it matters to Friel the way that Watson's behavior had been characterized in the NFL ruling that was eventually handed down by Sue L. Robinson, that she used the term, you know, predatory, and it was such the language was so ugly. Does that factor in? Because right now, it's he said, she said in what is a civil case, and you know, what can they really find out beyond that?
Right. Unless there were some video or audio evidence or something like that, it is going to remain a he said, she said situation. But I do think that his previous cases, his previous history will factor into this. That doesn't exist in a vacuum. So they're going to have to take a look at all of that and ask themselves, if this is, you know, showing more of the same, or if this was something different that needs to be further penalized. So they have a tough order to try to sort this out.
Mary Kay, what did you think yesterday when Kevin Stefanski said this was kind of news to him? Deshaun Watson and his kind of casual attitude about it during the press conference. What did you make of that reaction?
Well, I don't think that Kevin Stefanski was apprised of every single thing, every single case, every single alleged incident. I don't know that he was privy to all of that information that went on before the Browns traded for Deshaun Watson. So I don't think he could say, oh, yes, I knew that this happened. I mean, I really think that that's exactly what he needed to say in that moment, and I believe that that was accurate. So it doesn't mean that the Browns didn't know. It doesn't mean that the NFL didn't know. It doesn't mean that his contract is going to be null and void just because Kevin sat up there and said, I wasn't aware of the allegations. So I think we have to kind of be a little bit careful of reading too much into that. In terms of Deshaun not knowing, I think basically what Tony Busby is trying to say, oh, yes, he knew about the incident at the time that it happened, and also he knew that we have been trying to settle this case for the past 10 months. Well, I don't necessarily know if that part is true, the latter, because I know I did talk to Rusty Harden myself in October of 2022 when the 26th lawsuit was filed. And at that point, he had drawn a line in the sand and they were done. They had already negotiated the 11 games, the $5 million penalty. Deshaun was in the midst of that suspension at the time, and they had decided they were not going to pay out any more money. And so I think part of this situation is an outgrowth of that stance that they took, that hardline stance that we're done doing this. We're not, if we think that the lawsuit doesn't have merit, we're not going to just keep opening a wallet and paying out a bunch of money. So I don't know that he even brought this to Deshaun's attention that, hey, Tony Busby is trying to get $1 million for this person. I don't know if Deshaun necessarily knew that. So, you know, there are a lot of gray areas. I thought Deshaun did a really good job with fielding a bunch of questions that the Browns didn't want him to field and that his attorney didn't want him to field. And I thought he handled it really well. But, yeah, well, I mean, we just don't know where this is going to go yet, basically.
If he were suspended, would that open the Browns up to voiding his contract?
Probably. Yeah, I would say that that would open the door for perhaps something like that happening, because it's new sanctions, new penalties against him, and by that point the league would have decided that this was substantially different enough to warrant further sanctions. So I would guess that that probably would rise to the level of the Browns at least trying to get out of it at that point.
Now, it's been thrown out there, and yeah, this happened on Monday. This is the first chance we get to talk to you, so you may have given this answer to some other shows, wherever, written about it. I'm sorry, Mary Kay. Is there a possibility that the other owners in some way might block a suspension or whatever because they don't want them to be able to void his contract because of the fully guaranteed money? Like, that was something Mike Florio had pointed out there, and I'm like, well, I don't know if that's always the case.
No, I don't think so. I don't see anything like that happening. I don't think that the other owners are going to get involved in this business between the NFL and the Cleveland Browns. I don't think they would appreciate owners banding together and doing that for one of their own incidents, and you don't want to set that kind of...
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Precedent. So I don't see anything like that happening. And I also might add right now that even Deshaun said this yesterday during his press conference, the Browns are standing behind him. He has got the full support of his football team right now, that he 100% has gotten just support and confidence from the Haslams, from Andrew Berry, and they're not looking to get out of his contract right now. What they want is for things to work out, for Deshaun to get back on that field and be the quarterback that they believe that he is. So they're not trying to get out of this. They're not hoping they can get out of this. They're hoping the opposite, that things work out well for everyone involved, or better for everyone involved, and that he can get back to playing football.
Mary Kay with us on the show. Do they believe that he can get back to 2020 form, or do they believe that there's limitations there because of the time, because of the injuries?
I think that they still have full faith that he can be the quarterback that they traded for. I'm looking forward to asking Ken Dorsey some of these questions this morning, too, just about where Deshaun is at. But I don't think that they – I know the national and local narrative right now is that he's completely broken, lost, and hopeless. And I just don't – I don't really believe that that's true. I don't believe that that's true. I actually – when I rewatched the game, I thought I saw more things in that game that led me to believe that this was just a collective offensive meltdown and a recipe for disaster against a really, really good defense and a really arguably – one of the two best pass rushers in the NFL in Micah Parsons, along with Myles Garrett, and he wrecked that game. I thought Mike Zimmer came in with an amazing game plan. I thought the fact that Deshaun was always in second and long, third and long, every time you turned around, there was a penalty or another penalty or a drop. So a lot of it was on him. Yes, a lot of it was on him. But it was an absolute collective meltdown on the part of the offense, and they've got to look in the mirror this week and figure out where it all went wrong and how they can get it fixed very quickly.
Mary Kay, a week ago at this time, we were hearing from Ken Dorsey about how they basically had a unicorn in a quarterback that could make throws no one else could make. We heard from Kevin Stefanski about how confident they were. We heard from Quincy Avery, who said this might be the best Deshaun Watson's ever thrown the ball, maybe the best velocity. We had heard from Deshaun Watson, who said that he thought he was an elite quarterback and had no doubts about that. Was that just lip service? Was that everybody just trying to get their confidence up, or do they truly believe that?
No, they truly believe that, and I think it was probably last week when you guys asked me if he didn't play well, what did that mean? And I said it means it's the first week in a brand-new offense with a quarterback coming off of a shoulder surgery that no other NFL quarterback has ever had before.
Why didn't they say that, Mary Kay? Because that would have been understandable. That would have people feeling maybe not as bad today as they did. Instead, it feels like they've been lied to.
Well, you don't go into a game saying, hey, geez, we're just not really sure about this. I mean, like, who would do that? The Cowboys are coming to town, national television, and they didn't even believe that. I'm just saying that I believe that. I don't think that they believed that. I think they believed that they had a good scheme, a good game plan, a good quarterback, and a good supporting cast, and that it was going to go a whole lot better than it did. But from the first drive on, there were penalties, there were drops, there were slips. It was just basically kind of a disaster, and they could never pull out of it. By the time you get down 20-3, your running game is hardly viable anymore. And then you give up a 60-yard punt return, and what do you think is going to happen when you're down 27-3? They're going to tee off, and that is exactly what they did. And sometimes a game gets away from you. It doesn't necessarily mean that your quarterback is hopeless, lost, broken, finished. It doesn't mean that. Now, maybe he is. Maybe he is, and maybe what everyone saw on Sunday is what he's going to be. But I don't know. I don't believe that right now. I think it's too soon to completely write the whole thing off.
I would agree with you, Mary Kay, about all of that. I sincerely believe you and agree with you, because that's what I said on Monday, that I don't think this is the end of the world. I don't think it proves that Deshaun is gone. I just think from the fan perspective, they seem like they were building this up as if, wait till you guys see what we do in the opener, when how could they possibly believe that? We all know how little they did, how the fact that Deshaun didn't get any live reps, that he hadn't been hit, that he had surgery. Football's hard. They're a really good defensive line going up against an O-line that hadn't really had any continuity because of the injuries. I guess I get being confident because you're an athlete and that's the safe way to play, but I also almost seemed to me like they were saying things that even they couldn't believe.
Well, do you think the Cowboys should have come in here and said, oh, geez, you know what? Dak's mind's not right. We haven't signed him to his new contract yet. We don't know where his mindset is going to be when he's in here. And, geez, CD, we signed him so late in the program. He never had any reps with Dak. And, you know, we just don't know what those two are going to look like together. And for the first time in the history of the Cowboys, we are starting two rookies on the offensive line, and one of them is going to have to go up against Myles Garrett. And my goodness, we might as well just not even go to Cleveland right now, because this is going to be an absolute disaster. I mean, that's not how you approach a football game. No matter what's going on, you go in there, you go in confident, you go in with your game plan, and you hope that it's going to work out the way that you want it to. And in this case with the Browns, it absolutely didn't. But you don't go in saying, geez, we don't really know if this is going to work out.
Final one here. We're going to do rock, paper, scissors decide who asked you. Yes. You ready? We're going to do rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Yes. You ready?
Yep.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Go. Have at it, Kenny.
Have you looked into the matter of Leroy Bickerstaff?
No, I haven't. I haven't, but I will say this. First of all, Deshaun does not strike me as the kind of person that would do his own burner account. I'm not saying that people's surrounding camp would never do something like that, and I'm not saying that they would, but I just don't see him as a person that would run his own burner account.
I don't think so either. I think it's personally, we talked about it yesterday. I said I think a fan is having some fun with other fans on social media right now.
Yeah,
I
don't see it. Again, you know, sometimes people around a player will do some things. I doubt that happened either, but you're right. I think it's probably a fan.
Feels like the type of work that a slippery wizard might do, but that's for another day. Mary Kay, we thank you very much for the time. All the very best.
Sure. Thank you, guys.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.